Well, church, I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to the Epistle of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and this morning we'll spend our time in verses 7 and 11. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. A recent news article featured the story of three restaurant-owning brothers in India who constantly compete and bicker for business. The 51-year-old owner of a popular restaurant called Moonrakers competes fiercely for customers in this southern India holiday town. So fiercely, in fact, that they have fought physically in physical altercation. His chief foes are his own flesh and blood. His older brother operates a seafood joint called Moonwalkers. So the first brother's restaurant is Moonrakers. The second one now is Moonwalkers, and is right across the street. Just down the same lane, his younger brother runs Moon Rocks. The menus are nearly identical. At one time, all three brothers and their families would sit down for dinner. The three brothers were the ones, the brains behind the business venture of Moonrakers. They agreed to do this as a family, as a way to bring in income. One of the brothers said this: all of this changed as money came in. When money comes, love goes away. A couple of times in 2020, two of the brothers fought with each other in the streets in front of customers. Sometimes it's like a street fight, one said. And another said, this is a complicated family. We just come here to eat. We just want to eat. It's ironic, hey, that when we read something like this, when we hear the stories of families fighting together, we are left speechless and confused. And we say to ourselves, how can a family behave like this? How can flesh and blood treat each other like this? How can siblings treat each other with such hostility, brutalness, a total disregard for the other's well-being? It's sad, because in the Church of Christ, there have been those who have treated each other this way. Believers who have no concern for the individuals in the church. They are locked in conflict and they have no desire to resolve it. They come to church Sunday after Sunday without greeting certain people in the church. For some, they have been involved in exchange of fists and vulgar language. Years back, a Baptist church in the state made the news as a fight began mid-service. A house of worship became a house divided over money. And this was captured on video for the entire world to see. Here is how a church behaves. Here is how a church treats each other. This is a message this particular church was sending to the world. Is this how God has called his church to behave? Is this how the members of the household of God are called to treat each other? No, by no means. And so as we come together this morning in these verses before us, John here, he writes to believers. Not a new commandment, but an old commandment. And it is a commandment of love. John is concerned about brotherly love and brotherly affection. What John says to the church is that the sign of being a genuine converted believer is seen in our brotherly love for each other. Having dealt with in the previous verses on keeping God's commandments as a sign of truly knowing him, he now reminds believers that loving God means keeping his commandments, especially that of loving the brethren. For it is in loving the brethren that proves we are walking in the light. And this is a truth we need to remember this morning as we unpack the verses. The main point of this verses is brotherly love. Are we loving each other with the love of God? That is a question we need to ask ourselves. Are we walking in the light as a sign of our conversion and how we love God? Is the love of God being perfected in us? And so as we unpack the verses before us, we will do so in the following two main points. The new old commandment in verses 7 and 8, and then ultimately conclude with brotherly love is the way of life in verses 9 to 11. Firstly, the new old commandment. We read this in verse 7. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you heard from the beginning. Having read this, it makes you want to read it again, hey? Because it doesn't quite make sense. You're probably thinking to yourself, Icon, what is John saying here? Let's read it again. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have heard from the beginning. Is John making sense here? Contrast that with verse 8, where we read, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you. Hold up, John. What exactly are you saying? First of all, you're saying it's not a new commandment. It is an old commandment. But now you're saying it is a new commandment. We're not quite getting you what you're saying here. In fact, some of the young people in the church will say John has depleted his English-speaking data bundles. What is the Apostle John teaching us here? And that point is ultimately seen in verses 9, 10, and 11. But he uses the words of verse 7 and 8 to build up to this truth, to reinforce the point he is about to make. To help us understand the point in these two verses, I want us to consider four questions. Let us ask ourselves four questions as we make sense of these verses. The first question is this. What is the commandment alluded to in both these verses? What is the commandment John speaks of in verses 7 and 8? When we look at the following verses of 9 to 11, we see that the commandment John has in mind is that of the love commandment. When we think of the love commandment, we do not need to go far from John's writing, for he has written about this. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. There, John would quote the words of Jesus to us in John, chapter 13, verse 34. We read the following. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Here we see John records the words of Jesus at the farewell discourse as Jesus looks forward to the cross, as he leaves his disciples with a new commandment grounded on his love for them. Because Jesus has loved the disciples, in turn, he is calling the disciples to love one another. And he says, this is a new commandment that I'm giving to you. You love one another just as I have loved you. Because it is through your love for each other that the world would know that you are Christians, if you have love for one another. Here, Jesus tells the disciples that love must be the distinguishing mark for being his disciple. That's why verse 35 ought to stand out for us, that by this, all men will know that we are Christian by our love. John writes about the love commandment. In fact, we can also look even closer within the 1 John epistle for this very commandment. John would say this in 2 John chapter 5, or rather verse 5. John again would allude to this commandment. He says this, "And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another." The idea, the commandment that John has in mind here is the love commandment. John here writes to the believers that are walking in the truth to also walk in love. Living lives that are marked by the love of Christ towards others, especially those in the household of God. So the commandment that John has in mind here is one of love. And this leads us to our second question. What makes this commandment old? So if it is not a new commandment, as we read in verse 7, what makes it old? It is old in a sense that it was not the first time this church would have heard of this commandment. Look at those words in verse 7. "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you heard from the beginning." The old commandment is a word that you have heard. John here says to the believers that they would have been told this crucial aspect of being a Christian. That it is not only loving God, but also involves loving others. This is something the apostles would have taught them from the beginning. And we also know it's because that they themselves would have been taught this from a young age. These are the words that they would have remembered. As the apostle would have told them that you are to love one another, the words of Leviticus 19 verse 18 would have come to their memory, where God says to them, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord your God." They would have been reminded of the Shema, of the Jewish Shema found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." The apostles would have known this truth. The apostles would have known this commandment. And thus, from the very beginning of their ministry, as they minister to these people, this is a commandment they would have shared with them along with the gospel message. The teaching of this commandment was accompanied with the proclamation of the gospel. as these believers had the gospel shared with them, they also would have had this commandment shared with them. They would have heard the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. These are the words of Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is a great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophet. And so to the believers, this was not something old. Or rather, it was not something new, but it was actually something old because they would have heard of it. It wasn't as though John was now loading on them an extra commandment that they are to keep. But rather, John is reminding them of the old commandment that they would have heard being taught to them. As these believers heard the gospel and believed in the gospel, also the commandment to love one another was proclaimed to them. This got me thinking. When I look back on my life and the first time I heard the gospel, I don't remember this commandment being taught to me. I mean, this was something that I would have to learn later on, that actually being a Christian means that you love people. You know, it is not something that we are told when the gospel is proclaimed to us. Rather, it is something that we are told that, well, now that you have made it, here's a commandment you have to keep. You got to love everybody. Yeah, even that kid that bullied you in high school, you got to love them too. It is amazing how the early church did evangelism. That as they proclaimed the gospel, they also proclaimed the implications of the gospel. Think about it in your own lives. When you first heard the gospel, was this commandment taught along with the gospel proclamation? Or was this something that you heard after you were a Christian, after you were added on to a church? I think it is just an amazing thing to consider on how we go about sharing the gospel. Perhaps in our own ministry, this should be something that we should be sharing with others as we proclaim the gospel to them. That it's not simply about loving God, but being a Christian means loving the brethren. It means being part of a church and committing yourself to a church. For this is a sign that you are no longer walking in darkness, but now you are walking in the light. It's amazing how the early church were taught this commandment as the foundation to the gospel message. This is a gospel that they would have heard from the beginning. And in the later chapter in 1 John, John would again allude to this. John says this in verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So not only do we find these words now in chapter 2, but John again would allude to them. Do you see the seriousness of this commandment? Do you see the importance of this? This is not something that we just meant to hear and accept. But John is concerned that this is something that we begin to live out in our own lives. But then this leads us to our third question. Since we know that it is an old commandment, what makes it a new commandment based on verse 8? Where we read, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. There is one key phrase here and one key word I want us to pay close attention to. This will help us understand the nature of this newness. The first phrase is this: which is true in him and in you. This commandment to love is true in him. That is, in Christ Jesus. It finds its ultimate definition and example in his death on the cross. You would remember the words of Jesus in John 13, verse 35. We read them earlier on, where Jesus said that a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. But also in that very same chapter, two chapters later, Jesus will say this: this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. This new commandment is grounded on the work of Christ on the cross. This new commandment, Jesus sets the basis to which we are to love. How are we to love? We follow his example. And his example is this: greater love has none than this, that someone lays down his life for others. This is the new commandment, grounded on the work of Christ on the cross for all people. Jesus has now given the church the measure to which they are to love. To love like Jesus, this is a new love. A love the world has never really seen before the work of Jesus on the cross. But also the key word I want us to focus on is that of the adverb already. Already. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. What does this mean? It means that a light that was expected in the distant future is no longer merely a hope to look forward to, but it is happening now. It is evident now. It has already begun to shine. This is the light that has come in Christ Jesus. Jesus is a hope that he brings into the world that is filled in with darkness. Jesus is the one who is establishing a new kingdom of light, and darkness cannot overcome it. The light of Christ's kingdom is shining brighter and brighter in this darkened world, and this light shines forth in and through the church. The light of the gospel shines brighter and brighter in and through the church. It is through the church that God's light shines best and brighter in this darkened world. And we will do well to remember this, that it is through us that the world would know Christ. It is through us, mainly how we treat each other, that the world will know we are Christian. That the gospel will prove to be true in how we treat each other. But then this leads us to our final question. What is the significance of the old new commandment? What is the significance of putting this commandment together, saying that it is old, but then at the same time, it is a new commandment? And we know it says the same thing. It is a commandment of love for the brethren. In regards to his oldness, I believe John here is teaching against what some of the false teachers would have taught, as he has been doing so far. He has been correcting some of the false teaching that the church has believed. He corrected their teaching regarding the incarnation of Christ in chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Then he dealt with the false teaching of sinlessness in verses 8 and 10 of chapter 1. And he taught believers about biblical assurance to believe that indeed your sins are forgiven in chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. And according to 2 John verse 9, these false teachers went forward and did not abide in the doctrine of Christ. And so these false teachers just continued teaching this false theology to the church. And they did not abide in the truth of God. They did not abide in the commandments that God would have commanded them. And so John reminds the church that this is the word of God. This is what God has commanded. And if we love God, we will love to keep his commandment, especially this commandment of love. And in regards to its newness, I believe that John highlights the importance so that the church can begin to live out its light in the world. So that the light of the gospel will be seen through the church. Echoing those words in John 13:35, that they would know, the world would know they are Christian by their love. But then this would lead us to apply this truth in the remaining verses. What does this love look like? What are we to do with this commandment of love? And so very briefly, let us consider love is the way of life in verses 9 to 11. John says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. We know this guy, right? We know this imposter. We know this individual who claims to be in the faith, but through his actions, we get to see that actually he is an unbeliever. We know him because in verse 6 of chapter 1, he said that he had fellowship with God, but yet he walks in darkness. In verse 8 of chapter 1, he said he had no sin. He claimed sinlessness. And yet also in verse 10 of chapter 1, he said he had never ever sinned. And then in chapter 2 of verse 4, he said he knew Jesus, but yet he didn't obey his commandments. And we see him again. He says that he is in the light. That is, he is in God's family. He is in God's kingdom. But this is not so. How do we know that? Because he hates his brother. Hatred for a brother is not something those in the family of God do. Those who are part of God's family are not marked by such hostility towards each other. They do not behave indifferent to those who are in the church. They do not treat people differently. They do not harbor unforgiveness, resentment, and anger in their hearts. This is not something that Christians do. That is something that those who are in Satan's family do. That's why John says such a person is still in darkness. They have not yet come to believe in the truth of the gospel. They are the one who are still walking in darkness. They have rejected the truth of God and they have persisted in their own sins. John makes this point clear again in verse 11. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. It is clear as black and white. There is no middle ground. If there is no love for the saints, then there is no salvation. If there is hatred for the saints, then there is no salvation. Such a person is in the world and is still in the kingdom of darkness. One author says this: hate is the evidence of blindness to the light of God. Love is the evidence that sight has been given to the blind. This is the miracle of the new birth. This is the true light that is already shining. Brothers and sisters, this is the foundation of love in every believer. This is what God has called us to do. This is the love we are to show to one another, as recorded in verse 10. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. We are to walk in the light. And as we walk in the light, we love one another. And because we love one another, it shows, it proves, it gives evidence to that indeed we are true Christians. Indeed, we have believed in the message of the gospel. So I have this question for you this morning. Are you loving the saints? Like, really? Are you loving those who are part of this church? And I want you to be quick to answer that question, because the follow-up question will be this: how are you loving the saints? Think about it. Even as you're sitting here, will the person next to you, provided they're not your spouse, this person sitting next to you, or behind you, in front of you, can they say this of you, that you genuinely, truly, deeply love them? Can they say this of you? When an unbeliever walks into this building during any of our meetings, will they confidently say, without a shadow of doubt, that these people are Christians because of the love that they have for each other? Can that be said of us? As we love each other as a church, we need to do so in our actions, not just mainly in our words, but it needs to be seen in our behavior, in our treatment towards each other. It's one thing to say, yes, I love the brethren, but it is another to actually show it. Are we loving each other through our action? This week, I spent time thinking about, how can I apply this message to us as a church? What practical avenues can I mention and highlight to church? Well, church, here's how we can begin to love one another. We need to do this. We need to do that. But I didn't want those things to be simply superficial. It got me thinking how God in Christ has given us the means of grace to which we are to love each other. That is, in the church, God has given us ways to which we can express love to each other. What are those avenues that God has already given to us? We don't need to come up with something superficial, but we can simply take hold of the means of grace that He has already given to us. God has given us the Lord's Day, the Sunday gathering of the saints. that as we meet together, we commit together to worship the one who loves us truly. And as we meet, it shows that we love each other. As we take hold of meeting each other with each other in the morning and in the evening service, this is a sign of love for each other. God has given to us a prayer meetings that together in love we can seek the Lord's face. Together we can bring our petitions before the Lord, that we'll pray for the church, we'll pray for our gospel witness, we'll pray that the love of God would overflow in and through us, that the light of the gospel will shine forth. God has given to us Bible studies that we commit to grow with each other, that we are concerned for each other's spiritual well-being, that we are not content with our present spiritual growth, but we desire to continually grow. But not just for myself, but for my brother who is seated next to me, for my sister who is seated before me. These are the means of grace God has given to us, church, that we are to love each other. God has given to us discipleship, that we are able to raise up those who are weak in the faith, that they begin to mature. Not only that they may be content with just reading the Bible as though it is God's milk, which is good for the beginning, but we want them to get to a point whereby they are eating solid food. That they are diving into God's word. They are mining the riches of God's word. God has given to us ministries. Man's meeting, woman's meeting, even as they've met yesterday. It is through attending those that we show love to each other. That as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It is through those avenues that our love begins to overflow for each other. It is through praying for each other. As those messages are being sent out, the prayer requests in the WhatsApp group. It is one thing saying, yeah, I'm going to pray for this. Man, it becomes a beautiful thing when you have prayed for someone on that list and you actually pick up your phone, you send them a message and say, brother, sister, I saw your prayer request come through this morning and I want you to know that I prayed for you. I want you to know that I am thinking of you. It is good when you follow up on them and say, hey, brother, sister, last week we were praying for you for this. How is it going? This is love seen in action. Not just in our words, but in our action. The one who doesn't love is in darkness and needs to look at the cross and see the light of Christ and see the gospel message. The one who does not love is still in darkness and does not know Jesus. My prayer for you this morning is that you will come to see this light. You will come to see Jesus, the one who loved you to the very end. The one who gave up his life so that you would be redeemed, so that you would be forgiven, you would be sanctified in his love. For the believer this morning, I pray that you will resolve to take hold of the means of grace that God has given to you in the church as an expression of your love for one another. Indeed, may the world come to know that we are Christian by our love. Let's pray. Lord, we pray the words of the song that we sang earlier on. And Father, let there be love shed among us. Let there be love in our eyes. May now your love sweep this nation. Cause us, O Lord, to arise. Give to us fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shed among us. Lord, we know that we are indeed one in the Spirit, and we are one in the Lord. And Lord, we pray that where our unity has been broken, we ask that you will restore it, so that the world would know we are Christian by our love. Cause us, Father, to walk with each other and to work side by side. May we guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride, so that the world would know we are Christians by our love. Father, this is our prayer. Cause us to be doers of your word. May we as a church be seen as those who love Jesus. And may that be seen in how we love each other. And may the light of the gospel shine forth to the rest of the world, that through our actions, they will come to know you. Thus we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.